Suspiciously, Bond walked over and examined the screws which secured the panel to the wall. Their grooves showed minute scratches.
"Now it is time for a little more play-acting," said Mathis.
He walked over to the radio, which was still transmitting close harmony to its audience of three, and switched it off.
"Are you satisfied, monsieur?" he asked. "You notice how clearly they came over. Are they not a wonderful team?"
He made a winding motion with his right hand and raised his eyebrows.
"They're so good," said Bond, "that I would like to hear the rest of the program."
He grinned at the thought of the angry glances which the Munces must be exchanging overhead.
"The machine itself seems splendid. Just what I was looking for to take back to Jamaica."
Mathis made a sarcastic grimace and switched back to the Rome program.
"You and your Jamaica," he said,
and sat down again on the bed. Bond frowned at him. "Well, it's no good crying over spilt milk," he said. "We didn't expect the cover to stick for long, but it's worrying that they bowled it out so soon." He searched his mind in vain for a clue. Could the Russians have broken one of our ciphers? If so, he might just as well pack up and go home. He and his job would have been stripped naked. Mathis seemed to read his mind.
"It can't have been a cipher," he said. "Anyway, we told London at once, and they will have changed them. A pretty flap we caused, I can tell you."
He smiled with the satisfaction of a friendly rival.
"And now to business, before our good compagnon run out of breath. First of all," and he inhaled a thick lungful of Caporal, "you will be pleased with your number, too. She is very beautiful."
Bond frowned.
"Very beautiful indeed."
Satisfied with Bond's reaction, Mathis continued.
"She has black hair, blue eyes, and splendid, protuberances, back and front," he added. "And she is a wireless expert, which, though sexually less interesting, makes her a perfect employee of Radio Stentor, and assistant to myself in my capacity as wireless salesman for this rich summer season down here."
He grinned.
"We are both staying in the hotel, and my assistant will thus be on hand in case your new radio breaks down. All new machines, even French ones, are apt to have teething troubles in the first day or two, and occasionally at night," he added with an exaggerated wink.
Bond was not amused.
"What the hell do they want to send me a woman for?" he said bitterly. "Do they think this is a bloody picnic?"
Mathis interrupted.
"Calm yourself, my dear James. She's as serious as you could wish, and as cold as an icicle.